Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Janine Loudon, sometimes called Loudon Clear. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon on Coffee Talk Radio, brought to you thanks to the wonders of modern technology, like Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Scoop It, Twitter, Big Marker, Nation Builder, I can't remember them all, YouTube, forever expanding our frontiers of social media, the way we make up the 99% media, the media, I can't say that enough. It's the way we roll today in Coffee Party USA. So I am with you today from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I cannot tell you what a relief it is that the election is over. For those of you like me who live in swing states, the last month has been obscene. And the campaign for whether it was city council, state representative, senator, president, it really didn't matter. It was just beyond belief. And it's almost a deathly silence here now. Almost a deathly silence. So it really it feels like
space now.
Pardon?
You have some space now.
I know, and it's almost creepy. It's so quiet, it's almost creepy. I mean, like when you walk in through the TV room here, you can actually hear. It's not going, bah, 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 bah. So, yeah, and you know, what's interesting about this, Debbie Lynn, is like the Coffee Party was founded on principles of civility and reason. And boy, those seem to go out the window with what you saw on TV or heard on radio. And you know, just yesterday, in what's becoming this famous rant, and I hope if you get a chance to go to YouTube and watch it, you can go to Lunch with Loudon and click on the link. Rachel Maddow agreed with Annabelle Park all those years ago now, and she said, in effect, we must learn to come together because, and I'm going to quote now, by that process of debate, we come up with good ideas. And boy, the campaign United was hearing was not about good ideas. It was, you know, if you listen to my show, you know that I believe in American ingenuity. So with those words, you know, Dr. Maddow, she sort of rose in my book from one of my heroes to goddess. Good ideas come from debate. You don't have to agree with each other for something powerful, wonderful, and unexpected to happen. I believe in the unexpected and wonderful in America. I don't believe the question today is, can we come together? I believe the question is, will we choose to come together? Not an agreement, like, you know, we went to the same little charismatic convention and we came out, you know, the bots for whatever we saw. Not like we're all going to be best friends and not like, you know, nothing like that. But as Americans who recognize the power of creative tension and that our differences are the spark that will ignite that fire that creates the answer to the question that nobody saw coming and that everyone can embrace. It's an amazing phenomenon. Any of you who've been in work groups or worked on projects who delivered a totally over-the-moon project know exactly what I'm talking about. None of you got what you expected and all of you got more. So if we can for a moment visualize that flame, we can put today's two questions into context. Got two questions for the show today. Please call in. We want to talk about it. Debbie Lynn's on the chat room. You can chat too. One, where do we go as a nation? Where do we go from here? What future do you want to create? Which means lots of words for what's next.
And two, hey, Janine.
Yeah.
You said call in. 646-929-2495.
You're a genius. And two, why should you, dear listener, want to go into that future as a member of the Coffee Party USA Board of Directors? We're going to talk about both those things. Debbie Lynn, how are you doing today?
I am doing great today. I took a day off of media yesterday, so I had a media blackout day, and it was awesome. It was very quiet here. And kind of came back into the spin this morning, and it's been really interesting because I have friends that are, you know, across the political spectrum, and I don't like to have a linear spectrum. It's more like a quadrant spectrum, so because I have people who are, you know, all over the board, and there have been people who are very celebratory, of course, and then there's been people who are really grieving, and they really know that they really sense that there's been a seismic shift that has happened away from their way of thinking and their tradition, and they're in deep pain right now, and so I have some empathy there, even as I am really glad Romney did not win.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And I think that's important. I think it's important to get that we all are standing in some place with these results. And I really appreciate the things I'm seeing now that come through my email or come through Facebook or other, you know, through the blogs that say, you know, now it's our job to make this the right decision for everyone. Now it's our job to move where we are today forward into the future that we want to generate, to make this work for everybody with no one left out. And, you know, if the Obama side of the coin can't do that, then they're no different than the Romney side of the coin. Or if the Romney side of the coin couldn't have done that had they won, they're no better than anybody else either. So, again, the coffee party was born of the notion that we're really not just our political party, that we are first Americans, that we have certain not only rights but responsibilities when it comes to making this republic's democracy fully functional and serve the needs of its citizens. And mm-hmm. so that's the future I hope to generate, to do my part to help generate. And that's what I'm curious to, what do our listeners today hope that direction will be, and will they consider doing that from the position of being a member of the board of directors of Coffee Party USA?
Mm-hmm.
And now we had some callers that came on as soon as we came live, so I have no idea who these people are. So I'm going to first go to, we have an electronic caller. But before I talk to anybody, I want to sort of make a statement, which is this. Over the last week, just like the TV and the radio have gone a little crazy, so have the callers into Coffee Talk Radio. I want to remind our callers that we all operate on the civility pledge. And so not only do we not really malign or try not to malign other people, we're trying to move the actions forward in our conversation to actually be a contribution to resolution. But we really don't call each other names, and we really don't, you know, we don't drop the F-bomb. I mean, I don't think I need to say more. And that anyone who does that is going to get muted and dropped. And please, let's stop that momentum now. So thanks, everybody. And here comes our first caller. You're on 111111, which means some kind of an electronic device, I believe. So your mic should be live now. Hey, you're on Lunch with Loudon.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Who, me?
Yes.
It's you.
Hey, it's Jack Golding, and I'm from Hubbardton, Kansas.
Jackson, Kansas, thank you so much for calling in. You usually wait till the last minute, and we don't really get to finish our conversation, so thanks for coming in early. So, Jack, are you here to talk to us about what's next for America, what's next for the Coffee Party, or your interest in being on the board?
Well, I'm not ready for that yet, but I have to talk it over with my daughter-in-law and all that stuff. And anyway, not considering the board, but I will eventually rejoin you guys. But the thing I'm a little concerned, I'm glad that we got Obama back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. And what do you want him to do? What do you want to see happen?
Well, the thing Obama's got to do is, I believe his first priority is to overhaul the tax code, because I think that's the whole best thing. Do away with all deductions, credits, and exemptions. My proposal is to leave only an exemption of the first $10,000 of income for all who file, and the second $10,000 for seniors over 65 who file. So that's $20,000 for seniors. And the top bracket, and this can be done if we do away with special interests and don't worry about people like Grover Norquist who want to. We say that such an idea is insane.
Right, of course. Well, Jack. Janine, I saw you jump off the board for a second there, Jack. How, do you have any interest or energy for working with Coffee Party to kind of push through some tax code reform in 2013?
Yeah, I would be. I would.
Okay.
Excellent. And, of course, the three tenets of the Coffee Party have been tax code reform, Wall Street reform, and campaign finance reform. And
yeah,
I went out to – go ahead.
Yeah, I would. I told you, do away with all deductions. Do away with the Bush tax codes completely, because that's counter. I mean, I don't think doing away with the tax codes altogether will hurt the middle class. Unlike what Obama may think.
I do think it's complicated. And, you know, I think people that the longer you've been around, the longer you've been paying taxes, and the longer you've sort of seen these ebbs and flows in tax theory, folks like you and me, Jack, we sort of have seen that there's a lot of good ideas that go sideways. And so that's why I think tax code reform usually needs to start with just kind of cleaning up the mess made by lobbyists and special interests, and then see what you have under that pile. I'm interested in what you think about every time a legislator holds up the 15-inch stick tax code and says, this is too complicated. Well, it's too complicated because there's 10,000 exceptions and little loopholes and all these little – I mean, some of them are so specific that you can have 40 pages in there that takes away the tax liability for one building in the country. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think we can reduce this whole 27,000 pages of to about 100 pages, maybe at the most.
Right. I think if you took all of the K Street's handiwork out of there, we'd have a decent code before we even did anything major.
All those technicalities and stuff like that.
Technicalities, that's brilliant. I hadn't thought of that word for a long time, but Jack, I think you're exactly right. It's the devil's in the details, yes?
Yeah.
So, Jack, if you can hang on, I think that would be great because we may have another caller who wants to talk about tax code reform. There's been another caller hanging on as long as you have. Do you have any anything you want to say before I meet you for a bit?
Do away with Obama's got to have the courage to defy Wall Street and organizing. That's another thing.
Do you think he'll have some help from Elizabeth Warren?
He doesn't have to worry about being reelected anymore.
Right.
He does have to work with guys like Boehner and McConnell and even Cantor. I'm glad that maybe a lot of the worst of the tea parties have been eliminated.
Yes, yes. And
like West and what's his name in Illinois?
Yeah.
And what's the Walsh? And I'm very happy that Elizabeth Warren has been, because I was backing her from day one when I first heard of her.
Yes,
of course,
excellent,
I can't
excellent.
Give any money. I can't give any money to, because my credit has been ruined 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hang on.
Well,
there may be other people who want to talk about these things. And as always, thank you so much for your input. If you can stay with us, we might be able to get back to you if there's someone else on your subjects for the future. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll hang on for a few minutes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, so now we have a caller from area code 513, and I think, is this Laura from Cincinnati? Oh,
hello?
Hey, there you are. Here you are. Hey,
yeah,
you're on lunch.
The other guys are like, oh, I'm finally starting to recognize your number now. After
I know.
Many calls.
I thought it was you. I thought it was you. So where should this country be going, and how should the Coffee Party be a part of that?
Well, this country needs to get a different mindset. That's, to me, the big problem. Our mindset needs to be solution-oriented rather than blame-oriented, because blame orientation is too emotional. You know, people start digging in their heels, their egos get in the way. That makes sense?
It makes perfect sense to me. And it also is, if you listen a lot to, did you listen to the Rachel Maddow rant today from last night?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of her points, you know, it's like, let's get on with it, you know, let's heal and move forward. And I think, Debbie Lynn, you were talking about this need to, you know, part of the blaming is a, well, maybe Debbie Lynn, your idea about grieving and healing kind of go hand in hand, blaming, healing, grieving. We need to acknowledge that there's an upset that is an honorable upset. People have the right to genuinely disagree with one another. And whether you and I, you know, have quote-unquote sympathy for their position, we certainly should be having sympathy for them as people. And if we can be the one to reach out, you know, rather than wait for them to get their act together. I mean, when we do that, we're as bad as the other side, you know, doing something equally vile. I mean, coming together implies both sides taking a step forward and putting their hand out.
Yeah, what is the deal with, you know, we're supposed to have a sunny disposition and a positive attitude, but yet we're always fighting over, you know, oh, if Obama gets in office, this, and this, and Obama didn't do this, and this, and Mitt Romney will do this, and this. What happened?
Aren't you glad that's over?
Huh?
Aren't you glad that's over? I mean,
I would tell you what, I cut those robocalls off fast because they would go right into the negative, and I'm sorry, but taking in all that negative crap just makes me sick.
You and me both.
Virtually.
Although I don't have a landline, so I didn't have any of them. It's not. I mean, here's the. You know, this is just my take on it. You know, we are undergoing a huge seismic shift right now in our reality. We've actually been living in two different realities. We've been living in kind of like the old paradigm where there was a privileged class, and and it's shifting. And this, I think this election and perhaps even the next election will be there as well, where there is no longer going to be a privileged class. you know, the you know, whether you want to call it the white privilege or the wealth privilege, whatever it is crumbling. Yeah, some call it the patriarchy, you know, but there's an end of an era that's happening here in our culture. And there's people who are
I so hope you're right.
And that's what is ending, and that's what people are grieving because, and it's scary as hell. For people who like the way things were, you know, people who were privileged and people who were comfortable in that, it is scary as hell for that to end. And that's the part that I have empathy for, because they truly are frightened.
Yeah.
And that comes out as anger, and it comes out as fear, and they express it as Armageddon and all of that. Part of me feels like we're actually like being midwives right now, and we're birthing what's next, but we don't know exactly what that is yet. And so I have some excitement about what's coming, because it's going to be great once it gets here, but when the hell is it going to be? And we still have to make the sausage to get it here.
My boyfriend claims that we're going to go back to being independently employed, that we're going to go back to people having their own small businesses and interacting with each other rather than huge corporations and working for them. But I'm going to tell you what, I get tired of hearing about jobs. This country isn't about jobs, about building wealth. You know, it's like we see no way to make an income anymore unless we get a job.
Right. Well, that to me is the old paradigm. The old paradigm is go get a job and work for somebody your entire life.
Uh-huh.
And the new trend is, how do you cobble together a living through doing some self-employment, doing some odd jobs here, and doing a little bit of this and that in your own village?
Yeah, but you know what? That requires a lot of thought. That requires putting yourself out there. And a lot of people have a hard time with putting themselves out
there. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's about creating communities with people near you, or as I've done virtually across the country.
Yeah.
And it's a different way of thinking. The people who are very resilient and not afraid of change are being successful at it right now. And the people who want to go to a paying job where they show up every day and they do the same thing over and over again are less resilient. And those are the ones who are the most scared.
Oh, I can believe it. Oh, and I have to say that I agree with you. Now, I did something on the internet. I'm a crafter that sells on the internet. And I put together a Facebook group where we promote each other. Nobody promotes themselves in the group. They post something for everyone else to promote. So that way, instead of reaching just the people who are following us, we're reaching the people who are following 9 or 10 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
awesome.
Like a lead group.
I have two rules. You share. If you post, you share. You don't have to be there every day. Stuff comes up. We all know that. And the other is, you play nice. If you got a bad attitude, if you're going to nip at someone's heels because you didn't like the way they didn't word that exactly the way you thought it should be, you're out of here.
You know,
one girl says, well, the group's too small. I said, you know what? You get more results from a small group of really good people, or as Jack Welch said, surround yourself with the right people, than you do with a lot of people who don't do nothing but bicker all day. And I love it. It's my heaven. It's my escape from all that crap on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are so supportive of each other. It's incredible. Everybody has talked about how much they love the group.
Yeah, I think, you know, Laura, I think that's awesome. And, you know, and I'm going to bring in Bob here from the chat room because, you know, he was agreeing with me about my little description of what's going on and then talking about him being one of those people that's hard to get out there, hard to get out in the real world. But yet he's here on the Coffee Party Radio with us almost every week getting out there.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah, you know, so he, you know, Bob, I just want to give a shout out to you. You know, there are virtual communities just like there are, you know, brick and mortar communities. And that's just the beautiful thing about the time we live in today.
Well, and let me throw something in here. You know, if we're talking about creating the future, we're going to admit that not everyone is entrepreneurial, although respecting and embracing the notion of an entrepreneurial spirit as opposed to going to work for the big corporation, going to work for the big box guy. You know, I'm a retired employer. Most of the people that work for me probably were not the kind of people, a few, who would have gone out there and created their own businesses. I mean, they were tradesmen and technicians and engineers. And so part of the future I see, kind of dovetailing to what you guys are talking about, is a future in which true small business can thrive. And one of the barriers to the health of true small business is access to capital. And banking reform, Wall Street reform. There used to be a time when you could talk about banks and Wall Street separately. You can't do that anymore because it's just not so. And so Wall Street reform, as one of the tenets of the coffee party, to me, is a really important thing going into the future because serially, in addition to the things that have happened in the country in general and, frankly, to the world economy by the big money movers, the wealth builders that you're talking about, Laura, that, you know, as opposed to, you know, a wealth builder is only by coincidence a job creator. When it serves them, they create jobs. When it does not serve the building of wealth, they do not create jobs. And so coincidental relationships like that do not a label make. And so for a true small business person like me, had anywhere between 20 and 40 employees, depending on my contracts, and provided family wage jobs and health benefits and all of that. First of all, we need to make it possible for them to actually have employees who can make a living working for them. And the other thing we have to do is make the tax code and the access to capital support that as well. And so that's not a sexy piece, you know, of the future that I envision. But, you know, small business, true small business, is the job creation engine of this nation. And every time we come out of something, it's the small businesses that do it. And today, what is it, Debbie Lynn, is it 50% of the employees of this country work for small business? And I'm not just talking the statistical small business. And in terms of family wage jobs, it's even higher, you know, because the big guys have a lot of part-time people at minimum wage or, you know what I'm saying here? So
yeah.
if we're coming back to a country that actually cares about the health of its workforce, or it's, as I call it, their citizens, then you're going to be looking at things that make it possible for people to work with dignity, for fair compensation, and to have their families taken care of. And so, to me, health care falls right into that one because that's the hardest thing for an employer to provide. I'm on another board of directors. We just got a 30% increase.
Mm-hmm.
30%.
It's the most unpredictable expense. The most unpredictable expense.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
Just mind-boggling. So, Laura, thank you for calling in. Do you want to hang on while we go to our next caller?
Oh, yeah. And if the subject comes up, could we try to find a little time to talk about the announcement today?
The announcement?
Yeah, of the stock market plummeting and a bunch of employers claiming they're going to do layoffs now.
Well, you know, I actually I have in my purse a card, and I call them my psychic moments. SKYKIK, my psychic moments. And as a person who was a refugee from multinationals, I was middle management in multinationals when I'd had it, and I jumped ship and started my own firm and became an entrepreneur with, as I just described earlier, I predicted that the week after the election would have such stock market chaos if Mr. Obama won. Only it's theater.
Because 10 people
could own our market. 10 people own our market. And anyone who wants to call in and argue about this one, please call in. The number is 646-929-8495. Because if you want to remember Wait, well, let me finish this one, Debbie Lynn. I'll let you in. When the Congress said no to the bailout, remember, the bailout was actually Mr. Bush, and when the Democratic Congress said no, does anyone remember how far the stock market fell until they said yes?
50%
points.
Wow.
6,000 points. It took 6 days, or maybe was it 7 days? You know, it's a few years ago now, to fall 6,000 points, and that was a shot across our bow. If you don't think very few people run the world economy, you look back to that week in history, and you tell me what that was all about. It was saying, I promised the boys in the sandbox that this would never happen to them, so you better not do it.
It's called extortion, and it's the debt ceiling crisis all over again.
Yeah, I've heard about that, but some people consider it a conspiracy theory.
It's not a conspiracy. It's a strategy. Why is it a conspiracy if liberals talk about something, and I'm not even a liberal. Well, I'm way more than a liberal. I'm my husband said I was born a Marxist. But, I mean, come on, why is it when someone on the left side of center talks about something, it's a conspiracy theory, and if somebody on the right side of center talks about it, it's a strategy? Come on.
Huh.
That's just like when women tell you something the neighbor did, it's gossip. And when a man tells you what the neighbor does, he's informing you. Don't give me this stuff. You know,
but if
don't
a woman
go there with me.
Right?
All right.
Hey, Janine.
I'll be quiet now.
Yeah,
we have a caller.
I know. Okay, hang on. I'm going to go to the new caller. I hope you stay with us. Talk to you soon, Laura.
Okay.
All right, so caller in 7 your mic is live, and you're with a very riled up Lynch with Loudon. Who are you, and where are you calling from? 707. Did we lose you?
Hello, me?
Hello, it's you.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, on that topic of the, I'll use your wording at least, of the extortion, I'll answer your question. I'm Ryan from California.
Okay.
But in the ballot measures this year in California, I felt that Prop 37 and the argument against it was a bit of extortion in a similar method that they were arguing that if we label our foods as being GMO, it'll raise prices, so you better not do it. I don't know. I mean, hardly a factual argument. I'll admit that, but it's something to think about, something that concerns me a little. But on the topic of the economy, it was my personal belief that as the future comes closer and closer to our doorstep, as there's more technology, it's going to take less work for each person to basically do their fair share of work to provide for themselves. Or basically, if wealth was 100% equally distributed, it'll take fewer and fewer hours each day for people to work. But people are working, 8-hour-plus days. And so it's no wonder that wealth is going way up the food chain.
Isn't it interesting how, back in the 60s, we thought, technology was going to make it possible for all of us to work four-hour days or work four-day weeks. And so people were being advised in college to major in things like recreational therapy and outdoorsmanship, so that we could help people age in place gracefully and maintain their health and fitness in a sedentary world. But it was like the whole future we saw from George Jetson on was one where technology was our friend and our lives would be enhanced. And, boy, that didn't play out, did it?
Right.
I mean, instead of making three times as much per hour and working half the time, which is what the model said, we're working three times as much time for half the money. And, it's like, wow. What happened to us?
I wonder if, I hope that, part of the paradigm shift you were talking about of, birthing a new world, so to speak, I do hope that there will be, you know, better wealth distribution, and people will have to realize that we don't have to work 8 hours to make up for what we're taking back from society, so to speak.
Right.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ryan. I could not agree with you more. You know, it is, you know, the Warren Buffett thing, people have bantered it around into ill repute, but it's so true. You know, why does Warren Buffett pay a lower percentage on his income than his secretary pays on hers? And it's, again, if you were listening to the show when our first caller called in and he was talking about, we talked about the gigantic tax code, but the only reason, the tax code itself is pretty fundamentally small, and all that debt, when you pile those papers up, is all the exceptions to the rule. All the, Jack, what did you call them? The technicalities. And I call them the K Street mischief. You know, all the lobbyists and the special interests who somehow make their clients an exception to the rule for contributing so that, you know, I mean, how many people do you know, Ryan, who actually have two or three jobs, you know, so that they can even survive? And then,
well, personally, I'm actually, I'll be honest and say I'm somewhat well off. I'm in a maybe even upper middle class family. So I don't really feel it too hardly, but I absolutely understand that the country is a lot worse off than it needs to be.
Well, then I have a question for you that a lot of people who call in can't answer, and this is a legitimate question. Why do you think it is that the work generated by money, or income generated by money, is not taxed, and income generated by labor is taxed? You know, capital gains are 0 or 15% or something in between. See what I'm saying? Why is it that money special? And labor is not special, or they actually call it ordinary. It's ordinary income.
I think it's to support the idea that entrepreneurs are special people who deserve special treatment.
Is it entrepreneurial if your money works and you don't?
I'm sorry, I don't quite get the question.
Well, it's just, I guess I'm asking, you know, so, okay, I know a bunch of trust fund people, right? Second generation, third generation trust fund people. Their income is totally portfolio income. Their, you know, their tax rate is zip. I mean, it's, and so why is it that when your money earns money, it's treated as special income? And when your body earns money or your mind earns, when you labor, it's ordinary and it's taxed higher. See, this is the, to me, it's one of the quirks that if someone who works for a living doesn't get it, maybe if you're one of those capital gains kind of guys, portfolio kind of guys, somebody who makes a majority of your income from a portfolio, maybe you can explain this to us. Because I'm really not sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I make a lot of money, but I make a lot of money. I'm taxed at the same rate as everybody else who earns their money. And so all my income is ordinary. Yes, sir.
There's a comment in the chat room that just says, has a suggestion here that the argument is that it would is that we behave as if business and employers are doing us a favor to hire is one reason. And also there's an argument that it's double taxation because the taxes were paid on the initial money when it was earned.
What do you think of that, Ryan?
I honestly can't say I know a whole lot about. Well, I have taken a macroeconomics class, but it was a little while ago. But I agree that basically the tax code needs to be reformed. I agree that the rich need to be taxed more heavily than they are. You know, we could at least take cues back from the. From the response to the Great Depression of taxing, you know, putting a huge income limit of, you know, on the million or whatever, I don't know, beyond a certain point, they're taxed like 99% or something. And
yes.
It was, you know, part of the New Deal that it was accepted. And so And so all that money went into the government work programs, and it helped a lot.
And so when you talk about redistribution,
I think we need to take, you know, look back at those times and take that as an example and take measures. Let's take similar measures.
Go to take measures so that we can come through this recession and people have the opportunity to work their way through rather than being given charity as they go through, or as some people like to call it, entitlements, or so that's what you're talking about when you're talking about redistributing wealth.
My personal stance, not that I think it would be readily accepted by the country, but I think we could go very socialist, at least in the far, far future. The ideal way would be for a far more socialist distribution of wealth, and you would pretty much be giving money. But I think the mentality of the country will have to change a lot before something like that can happen, so that you don't have nearly as many people who would be kind of taking advantage of it. And not that I'm saying that a whole lot of people are now, but if there was a lot more charity, there would be more people taking it.
There you go. There you go. Okay, I get your point now. I see where you're coming from. So you really sort of envision, when I said, let's see what kind of a future we want, you want that included. You'd like to look forward to a future where there's some kind of assumption of what your lifestyle is going to be if you're an American, and what, you know, how wealth is managed, or how, how wealth is managed in this country. Got it. I got it. Thank you so much. Anything you'd like to say before we move to the next caller?
Just that I'm proud to see the Coffee Party as part of the dialogue in this country.
Thank you, Ryan. I am proud to have you a part of the Coffee Party. You should think about running for the board of directors, and we'll talk about that some more later. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So our new caller is from area code 770. We're bringing your mic live. Hello, 770. You're on Lunch with Loudon.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Patrick Thompson, Coffee Party here in Georgia.
Hey, Patrick.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well, and it's a new day in America, isn't it?
Yes, all money is still there. We now in Georgia have a Republican-controlled supermajority for House, Senate, Governor. It's a really unbalanced situation. I ran for Senate or for Senate here before, and I ran for Congress this past time, and I ran on $5,000 to make a point that we need to get money out of politics. My opponent had maybe $5 million, and I took a third.
Oh.
So,
Patrick, you were missing a few zeros.
Yeah, so I am part of the discussion I hear about taxes quite a bit is that, you know, we hear, and I'm trying not to be Republican or Democrat here or anything, but you hear quite a bit, you can't tax the job creators. And the pattern has shown that job creation has nothing to do with the taxing. In fact, when we had higher taxes on corporations and higher taxes on CEOs, what they did is they tax sheltered that information by that detail by sinking more back into their companies and hiring more people. It had exactly the effect. What we have now is people holding on and you know they should have a television show just like they do for people that hold on to their belongings. They should have one for people that hold on to their money. There's a lot of people just holding their money, or they're holding it in other countries. I recently did a manufacturing summit where the CEOs were telling the people there on a panel that they were perfectly happy with holding their money overseas because they needed to make profit, needed to show it, and didn't want to be taxed here in America because they needed to show their shareholders that they were, you know, making money. So I reminded them that I was their biggest shareholder, somebody who set them up in business as a taxpayer. I created the space for them to be successful, from utilities to roads to railroads to telecom to water to resources to even human capital. We as taxpayers set them up to be successful, And their way of returning that investment is to hold the money overseas and to make investments so that they make money. That just doesn't feel right, and it isn't right. So I hear about the capital gains and it can't be taxed twice. Well, the key thing is, and I heard Romney say that a few times, is that not the same person is taxed twice. So
right.
somebody who lives off those capital gains never really was taxed in the first place on those gains. So it's a different person, it's a different entity, it's a different corporation even sometimes. So that argument doesn't hold up. And I'm very interested in some of the stuff that's coming out of, I think it was Ellis up in Minnesota was trying to start a Robin Hood tax, which is already taking place and taking off in Europe. It's where they tax the investor. These are high-end investors who just sit there on the computer and make trades, millions of trades an hour. They have no attachment to the money. They make money whether you lose or win. They've got everything set up. But they're just like having a gajillion transactions. And
a gajillion transactions a day. Yeah, Ron Wyden is the Oregon senator who's been on this Robin Hood tax for a long time.
There you go. Yeah, so like you said, there's a difference between tax on labor and a tax on just playing with money. And when they play with money like this, what happens is it makes it tough on other people. If I have a small business or if I'm even an individual, it makes it tough for them to get loans because they're playing with the credit. And they match the credit up, and then, of course, people at the other end don't. There's nothing there. It's nothing left. And it looks like a high risk because they've taken the risk with our money. It's our money that they're taking risk with, but there's no implication.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think they need to feel it.
I think there's a lot of mischief in that sense. I mean, people don't realize these, 10, 20, 30 transactions a minute because, investment now, I laughed the other day because when this downhill slide started, yesterday or day before, the market dropped 300 points, and I they go, it's the lowest it's been since September, and I'm like, they're talking about September like it was a long time ago, but in the old days of investing, it would have been a concern if it was the lowest it had been since 19 blah blah. You know what I mean? They would have talked 16 months ago or that. But the event horizon in investing now is minutes. And so we used to think of investment as I like Harley Davidson or I like Nabisco or I like whatever. I'm going to sink my money there and let them grow it for me. And now it moves from day to day. It is not investment. This is gambling. This is playing roulette. And this is why true business that you're talking about can't rely on a finance base, a stable platform from which to planning being key, and grow. And just like you said, when I had a business, I very seldom showed a profit. But for exactly the reason you're talking about, Patrick, I went, whoopee, look at this, because you do your pre-tax planning like 4 or 5 months before the end of the year. You can do your trend analysis, you do your balance sheets, you do whatever, you look at that and you go, oh my gosh, I can hire 3 more people or I can, totally upgrade all the computers throughout the company or, you see what I'm saying? You look at how you invest in the future growth of your company or the quality of your product or an outreach to a new market. And so the money, because your choice was either I'm going to pay it in taxes or I'm going to grow my business. Exactly what you said, Patrick. But now the cost-benefit analysis is hold the cash. Hold the cash. It's a better investment than in expanding your company, expanding your market, or hiring.
What
idiot sets up that tax opportunity?
I'd like to just like throw something in here, just listening to the two of you go back and forth. And it's like, I think that we've actually changed the definition of investing from investment to rolling profits.
Yeah.
So it's actually not about investment. It's actually about how do we roll profits, and whether it's in this particular business, whether it's in the stock market, whether it's in the bond market, wherever it is, we're actually all about profit making rather than investment. And they're two distinctly different things.
Right, but some of us are not profit takers. Some of us are investors in the sense that you buy the building, you buy the rolling stock, you hire the people, because in a part, you're also just creating your own job. When you're down at the scale of 20 to 40 employees, you're actually hiring yourself. You know, you're actually working for a living as well as. It is not your money that's earning that money. It is your labor. It is your savvy that is earning anything. And the notion that you take from your business merely for the fact of ownership is a myth. Your business owns you. And what you get is what's left over after everyone else gets paid. And so, I don't want to go too far down that road, but, you know, when we're talking about envisioning America that works, where people have jobs and the jobs make it possible for you to make a living and see your children once in a while or actually play on a softball team, you know what I'm saying, have some quality of life, it's got to be jobs that pay decent wages, that provide health insurance or health. There has to be health insurance provided, and there has to be a meaningful conversation about the relative values that we have. And, you know, so, Patrick, I mean, that's what I'm hearing you talk about when you're saying what's next for America and therefore what's next for the coffee party. What are we looking at here? Am I way off the mark?
No, that's exactly right. It's changing the discussion. I think there's been a lot of kind of post-election talk about whether this was a mandate for taxes or not. And I think unless we're willing to, you know, stop with the taxes are a bad thing and talk about how, you know, that's our revenue source as well. I mean, you can't just stop taking in some revenue, taking in and investing that. I think we need to look at that as investors in our community. We need to stop paying for, like wars and, you know, oil and gas subsidies and paying people to take jobs and capital overseas. And we need to reverse that so that we have some income investment in our communities. This is why our communities are drying up. There's no money for the community because it's out on these other things that do nothing for America.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm all about it. Patrick, you're welcome to stay on the line with us to hang on while we go to our next caller. And if they have something, if they bring up something relevant to what you've spoken to, I'll bring you back in. How would that be?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling me. And our next caller is coming from area code 518. And the number looks familiar, but I don't have my card in front of me. Oh,
I think
have noise.
It's Joe.
It is, Jeanine. Joe Pomponio, Albany, New York.
Hey, Joe.
I'm at work right now. It might be a little noisy, so I'm going to try to be quick.
Okay.
All right. With regard to simply the election, I had Elizabeth Holtzman, I had Tammy Baldwin, and I had Mazio Perano in Hawaii. All three made it. I was the personal... I campaigned on the phone for her out of Albany, so I'm really, really happy with that. This tax issue thing, it gets complicated. I got an email from Bernie Sanders, and on his website, he proposed a 12-step approach that I find very interesting, but I don't have it with me now. If you could, I guess, look it up, it's there. And he covers just about everything. There's one area with regard to China's currency manipulation that I'm a little nervous about. But he has some positive suggestions. As for me, myself, I'm kind of leaning towards a flat tax. If you want all my deductions, and I'm going to pay the same amount I pay anyway, I'd be willing to look at that. But the devil on that is in the details. Bernie mentioned surtax on people above a certain income, all right, for a period of time until we get the debt under control. And he has some real positive ideas. Now, with regard, I got to get this in, with regard to civility, thank you. Thank you. I mean, look, the night of the election, I'm in my home. And when I'm watching, oh, by the way, Rachel Maddow, I've been watching her for years. Okay?
Yes.
When I'm in front of my TV, I get my angst out. I learned that in school. I went to a public school. And it served me well. Right? But I, you know, and by myself, that's one thing. When I'm out in public, I'm not saying to get civility pledge, but a better way to interact with people. If we are going to solve our problems, okay, as bad as members of Congress may be, okay, we're going to have to find a way to reach it. I personally don't know how. But we're going to have to get some cooperation from both sides. Now, they've been saying all along, people like myself, progressives and liberals, have, you know, better be ready. There's going to be a lot of things in this we don't like. Now, as long as, you know, it's even-handed, I'm going to have to deal with it. But in all fairness, I won't tolerate Social Security being touched or Medicare. That's not a handout. We paid for that, right? I got 7 at work. Regarding the banks, Elizabeth Warren said it best. Bring back Glass-Steagall. I don't think she can, but if we put a push on, maybe we could get something similar. Right? You know, they're running wild with the money, okay? Nobody wants to stop them. There's a gentleman that was just on from Georgia. By the way, congratulations to him.
Give me your last best thought. We have only a couple minutes before I have to wrap up, so give it to us now. This has been great,
Okay. If we're going to attack this thing, right, we have to do it barehandedly. Let me leave it that way. If we only have 2 minutes, let me say goodbye now. I'm really glad to be a Talking Party member, and hopefully I'll be able to call you again without all the noise.
Thank you so much. So I wanted to take the last couple of minutes just to, I had promised that earlier we would talk a little bit about the elections for the board of directors, and we have wonderful callers, and we haven't done much about that, so we will post much, much more on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. It was also on our email blast today about the show. And if you're a subscriber to my Scoop It page, Coffee Party Feminists, you'll be able to link to some of this. But here's the bottom line. Coffee Party USA is, in truth, a grassroots organization. Our board of directors is a voluntary body. It's a body of volunteers who are elected from among the members. So if you are a dues-paying member of Coffee Party USA, you'll get to vote. If you don't know if you're a member or not, you can contact what would be the email address, Debbie Lynn?
Go ahead and send it to executivedirector@coffeepartyusa.com.
And we can check and see. We actually know. And if you know you're not a member and you would like to vote, or you just like what you've been hearing today or other times, the links to click to become members are at coffeepartyusa.com. You go to donate, then you go to your respective, you become a member, renew your membership, or you join me at sustaining membership. If you do that by November 19th, you'll be able to vote in our upcoming election. But more importantly than that, we have 4 positions opening this year. And I only got a few seconds to tell you, so I'm going to read them real quick. And it's basically the secretary. That's been my position, but I am being appointed treasurer. And so my position is open. If you'd like to talk to me about that, come to the Facebook page, start an inquiry. The board member that works with internet infrastructure, the board member that works with advocacy and action, that's our partner groups when we partner up with other good government organizations, and the board member that works in a group called Pathways to Participation, which is how we wrangle volunteers. And so I can't tell you how important it is. Membership matters. You matter. You are the coffee party. And until next week, this is Lunch with Loudon. Coffee party on.